You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you for joining us today. If this is the first time you are joining this podcast, welcome. And I am a culture coach, consultant, had a career of about 30 years in the corporate world. And actually, this week, the week that I'm recording this, on October 31st, on Halloween, 3 years ago, I left the corporate world a little abruptly, more abruptly than I would have liked to, but I was pretty burned out. And over the last 3 years, have really worked on building a business where I can help leaders like you create an environment where your employees can thrive. And absolutely, first of all, where you personally can thrive. So through these episodes with guests or solo episodes, I just try to bring you bits of information that can help you either with yourself, with your team, maybe even at home. But welcome. And today is going to be a solo episode. We're going to talk about really what's at the heart of leadership. And it's the difference between a strong leader and a tough leader. When I started out, it was a lot of command and control, that tough leader, not to show any gender bias here, but it was a lot of male, at least where I worked. A lot of the places where I worked were male-dominated workplaces. I was in the sports industry for a while. I worked on a cruise ship that was a Greek-owned ship, all male Greek-owned ship, operated leadership team, very command and control leadership style. So it's really kind of what it was interesting because I felt like what I learned in college and then I came out and experienced in the real world were two completely different things. And I remember saying to my parents, like, this is not what I thought leadership was. I was fortunate enough to have leadership roles early on in my career, leading large sporting events to a COO of a WNBA team, a CEO of a local nonprofit, really had some great early leadership opportunities. But it wasn't until I got into a role at a tech company where I really saw firsthand how intentional culture really was driving results for this organization. And worked at a few other places after that. And since leaving and now starting my own business, it really is my mission to help leaders understand just how important culture can be. But like I said, this episode is really focused on this leadership style that I've experienced, that tough leader versus a strong leader. And so here's what I've learned after years of working with CEOs, HR leaders, and teams, that the leaders who build lasting results, those who create loyalty, trust, and high performance, they're not the ones who bark orders or flex authority. They're the ones who balance clarity, accountability, and empathy. They're strong, but not tough, if that makes sense. And the distinction matters more now than ever in 2025 and going into 2026 in this, you know, technology-based world with AI coming in full-fledged. And you've heard people saying that, you know, that human-centered leadership is going to be even more important as AI and technology plays more of a role in the workplace, even more role in the workplace than it does today. Our leadership style matters. Our human-centered leadership matters. So I recently came across this powerful article in the MIT Sloan Management Review, and it's called Strong Leaders versus Tough Leaders, and it's written by Brian Elliott and Sophie Wade. It perfectly captured what I see playing out in organizations every day, that shift from command and control leadership to what we could call human-centered leadership. So if you're a CEO, a founder, or someone leading a team right now, this conversation is for you because how you lead, it doesn't just impact performance. It really shapes the entire culture of your organization. So we're going to talk through five shifts that separate strong leaders from tough ones, and how making these shifts can completely transform your team's energy, trust, and results. And the first one we're going to start out with is empathy. And empathy is a strength. It is not a weakness. You know, we've heard the myth that's held leaders back, I think, for generations that empathy is soft, you know, these soft skills, emotional intelligence. But strong leaders know that empathy isn't about being nice. It's about being effective. Empathy means understanding what your people are thinking and feeling so that you can communicate, collaborate, and coach more effectively. Tough leaders often think that empathizing means giving in, but it doesn't. You can think of it like tuning in. And research actually proves it. Managers who are rated as empathetic by their teams in culture surveys are also rated as high performers by their own managers. Because empathy helps to create alignment. Think about it. When people feel seen and understood, they're more likely to trust your direction. Even when the conversation is hard, empathy builds safe spaces for creativity. It builds strong alliances. It helps you get clarity on what's really going on beneath the surface. I had a team that I worked with in a corporate space that I was leading. It was a high-performing team. And one of the things that I feel like helped me in some certain circumstances when I had to be tough, because, you know, as a manager or a leader that's not the CEO, but that is leading teams, but also has to answer to their superiors, when someone gives you a direction and then you have to ask your team to follow through, sometimes, hopefully not often, but there are times when it is not aligned with maybe how you would do things. But you're a leader and you still need to bring your team along. And so I will say that there were several times in my career where, because I had built trust with my team through my empathy and being that strong leader by being empathetic, I built up their trust so that when I did have to be tough and ask them to do something that maybe went against the way we would typically do something, or that I, you know, without telling them, was maybe not in alignment with, and I had to ask them to do it because I said so, I had built up so much points of trust because I had engaged and been empathetic with them, that they were willing to do something that they didn't necessarily believe in at the time just to get to the other side, if that makes sense. And so, you know, think about in your circumstance, in your role as a manager, as a leader, when was the last time that you paused and asked a question to understand? That moment, that pause is where strong leadership begins. It's when you ask them what's going on. What do they think? Give me, you know, tell me what you think about this. How would you do things? And then understanding when they may have a different viewpoint. So that's the first one. That empathy is a strength, not a weakness. The second shift is that strong leaders are able to balance support and accountability. So I've worked with leaders that maybe have veered too far over to the friend zone with their team. And I'm not saying that you can't be friends with your team, but I have seen leaders, even CEOs, that have crossed over too far to the friend zone where they care too much about what people think about them as a person, and they're unable to hold people accountable for the work that needs to be done in order to move the business forward. So strong leaders are both demanding and supportive. That balance is what makes leadership sustainable. Human-centered leaders don't lower the bar in order to get people to like them or to come along. Instead, they raise the clarity. They set clear goals. They monitor progress and connect those goals to each person's strengths and skills. There's a great example in this article from the Neiman Marcus Group. Their chief people officer said that employees were given extreme flexibility in their organization. And in return, managers had the right to hold them accountable for results. So they were giving them extreme flexibility. Do your work whenever you want, wherever you want, however you want. But you're going to be held accountable for results, like seriously. And that's the key. That flexibility without accountability, it can become chaos. But strong leaders find the middle ground, and it's clarity. In my work, I talk a lot about leading with clarity. When people know exactly what success looks like, what you expect of them, they feel supported in achieving it. And you unlock performance that lasts when you can do that, when you can hold your employees accountable for what you've asked of them. It sounds so simple, but it really is difficult for some types of leaders, people that maybe have a little bit of that people pleaser tendency. It can be difficult to hold people accountable, but it's just so important. So next time that you meet with a team member, don't ask, how's it going? But maybe ask, what do you need from me to be successful? That one question shifts that dynamic from just checking in and checking out to leading in and listening and creating that trust. And that's where the real growth can happen. The third shift is that trust is built through dependability. Tough talking leaders often confuse fear with respect. But true respect and true performance comes from trust. I talked about this a little bit before, that when I was empathetic with my team, I built that trust. Trust is also built on dependability. There's a study from the I4CP group that found that organizations where people trusted their leaders were 11 times more likely to be high performers. I'm going to say that again. Organizations where people trusted their leaders were 11 times more likely to be high performers. That's not a small difference. So human-centered leaders build environments where people know that they can rely on each other, and they create consistency. And consistency is what operationalizes culture. You know, I talk a lot about core values and the behaviors that you're looking for to support those core values. So if you, in order to develop consistency, if you're not seeing the behaviors that align with those core values, you have to call it out. That's part of being consistent. When your team knows what to expect from you, that you'll follow through, that your actions match your words, they start showing up the same way. They take ownership. They bring solutions. And here's something important for every CEO listening. Consistency doesn't mean perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. Nobody's perfect. Consistency means predictability. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be someone your people can count on. Because when they trust you, they'll follow you through change, through uncertainty, through growth, even when it's uncomfortable. And as we all know, change is not comfortable. So shift number four is flexibility. Strong leaders focus on what's best for teams, not control. So this is where some leaders get stuck. Workplace flexibility has become a lightning rod topic since 2020. On one side, you have leaders pushing for everyone back in the office. On the other side, people who want total autonomy over when and where they work. But the magic lies somewhere in the middle. Strong leaders like Airbnb's Brian Chesky or Allstate's Tom Wilson, they understand that one size doesn't fit all. They have developed approaches that serve the purpose of the team and the needs of the business. So at Airbnb, for example, teams that need close collaboration, like product development, might spend more time together in person. At Allstate, each leader can set norms for their team based on what actually works. So leadership here isn't about control. It's about flexibility. As a leader, your job is to design systems that help your people to do their best work, not force them into structures that have worked 10 years ago. So think about your business and think about the policies in your organization, the processes, the systems. Are these built for control or are they built for outcomes? When you prioritize outcomes over optics, you give people space to perform. And I know sometimes that's difficult if you have a board, if you are not the founder CEO, and maybe your founder CEO is worried about optics. There is room for negotiation here. I think the best leaders are allowing for flexibility and giving their people space to perform. So the fifth and final shift is strong leaders allow themselves and others to be fallible. We talked a little bit about this with when we were talking about perfectionism and dependability, that it's, you know, being predictable is not being perfect. It's just being dependable and predictable. And for too long, we've equated strength with infallibility, perfection. But pretending you're never wrong does not make you strong. It just makes you unapproachable. Tough-talking leaders who refuse to admit mistakes actually cause long-term damage. And actually, research from Berkeley Haas, Professor Jennifer Chapman, shows that these leaders reduce collaboration and integrity inside organizations. But strong leaders do the opposite. They acknowledge their humanity, and in doing so, they give everyone else permission to do the same. They say things like, "I might have misjudged that," or "What can we learn from this?" They create a culture of experimentation instead of fear. If you've heard some of my episodes on the five behaviors of a cohesive team, it's that it's based off the Patrick Lencioni book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And what he talks about as the baseline, as the foundation for these high performing teams is trust, but it's that vulnerable trust, and not vulnerable trust like you said you were going to do something, but you didn't, but vulnerable trust like admitting when you've done wrong. So like I said, saying things like, "I may have misjudged that." So if you're in a position of influence, especially as the CEO, remember that people don't expect you to be perfect. They just expect you to lead the way forward. So if we tie this all together, let's recap what makes a strong leader in today's workplace. Number one, empathy is a strength. It is not a softness. Number two, clarity and accountability are a must. Put that people-pleasing aside. You got to give clarity and you got to hold people accountable. Number three, dependability builds trust. Let them know you are there. Number four, flexibility trumps control. You can allow full flexibility if you can partner it with accountability. Be results focused. And number five, fallibility fuels growth. You're not perfect. You're allowed to make mistakes. So when you practice these five shifts, you don't just lead better, you live better. Your organization becomes more adaptable, your people are more engaged, and your results are far more sustainable. When I worked in corporate, you know, I spent 30 years climbing the ladder. I was a leader. I feel like I was a good leader. I had this ability of managing up, and that took some time, understanding what my leaders wanted out of me and giving them what they needed, but then also leading my team, giving them clarity, holding them accountable, but being empathetic to what their needs were, being flexible about how they got their work done. But something else that I did was, and I think a lot of people do this, there is this work mask, this professional mask that we have a tendency to put on in the workplace. And what I like about these five things, empathy, clarity, dependability, flexibility, and fallibility, what I like about those five things are they are authentic. These are authentic ways to lead and show up in the workplace. So find a way to bring each of these to life for you. What does your leadership look like when you're more empathetic? What does your leadership style look like when you're more clear on what's expected of your team and you hold them accountable for the outcomes? What does your leadership look like when you are dependable and you're showing up for your team? What does it look like when you're flexible, when you admit that you are fallible? Take some time, think about that, and think about what you can bring to your team tomorrow, this morning, if you're driving into the office today, How can you take one of these things and integrate it into your leadership style? And how can you do it authentically so you don't have to wear that professional mask? It's no fun. It causes burnout, trust me. All right, that's it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. If it resonated with you, I want to personally invite you to join me for a free live training series in November. It's called the Culture Roadmap Series. It kicks off on November 11th, and it's designed to help you stop reacting to culture and start shaping it. Whether you lead a company, manage a team, or just want more influence over how work feels for you every day. Across these three sessions in November, you'll learn how to protect your energy and eliminate workplace drains, how to bring clarity to chaos with a simple, proven framework, and how to reset your values, rituals, and habits for a strong start to 2026. Each session is going to give you a quick win you can use immediately, and together they'll help you design a culture that fuels performance. You can sign up at culturecoachwendy.com/webinar series. That's culturecoachwendy.com/webinar series. I'd love to see you there. Remember that leadership isn't about being the loudest in the room. It's about being the clearest, the most consistent, and the most connected. Thank you for tuning in to the Culture Coach Podcast. If you found this episode helpful, share it with a fellow leader who could use a little clarity today. And until next time, lead with empathy, operate with clarity, and keep building the culture that you want to see. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.